The terminus of the Aqua Augusta was a vast underground reservoir a few hundred paces south of the Villa Hortensia, hewn into the slope overlooking the port and known, for as long as anyone could remember, as the Piscina Mirabilis, the Pool of Wonders. Only at night, when the noise of the traffic and the shouts of the tradesmen had fallen silent, was it possible to hear the low subterranean thunder of falling water. And only if you went into the yard, unlocked the narrow wooden door, and descended a few steps into the piscina itself, was it possible to appreciate the reservoir's full glory. The vaulted roof was supported by 48 pillars, each more than 50 feet high, although most of their length was submerged by the waters of the reservoir. The engineer could stand here, listening and lost in thought, for hours. The percussion of the Augusta sounded in his ears not as a dull and continuous roar, but as the notes of a gigantic water organ, the music of civilization. Attilius' first impulse on coming down from the hills and into the yard at the end of that afternoon was to check the level of the reservoir. But when he tried the door, he found it was locked, and then he remembered that Corax was carrying the key. He was so tired that for once he thought no more about it. He could hear the distant rumble of the Augusta. She was running, and that was all that counted. He went into the stores, dropped his tools on the earth floor, and re-entered the yard just as the others trooped in. They headed straight for the drinking fountain. Corax, then Musa, then Becco. The two slaves squatted patiently in the shade, waiting until the free men had finished. Attilius knew he had lost face during the course of the day, but still, he could live with their hostility. He shouted to Corax that the men could finish work for the day, and then started to climb the narrow wooden staircase to his living quarters. The yard was a quadrangle. Its northern side was taken up by the wall of the Piscina Mirabilis. To the west and south were storerooms and the administrative offices of the aqueduct. To the east was the living accommodation, a barracks for the slaves on the ground floor and an apartment for the Aquarius above it. Corax and the other free men lived in the town with their families. Attilius thought that in due course he would probably move to Misenum as well and rent a house, but for the time being he was sleeping in the cramped accommodation of his predecessor, Exomnius. What had happened to Exomnius? Naturally, that had been Attilius' first question when he arrived in the port, but nobody had had an answer, or if they had, they weren't about to pass it on to him. It seemed that old Exomnius, a Sicilian who had run the Augusta for nearly 20 years, had simply walked out one morning, more than 2 weeks ago, and had not been heard of since. Ordinarily, the department of the Curator Aquarum in Rome, which administered the aqueducts, would have been willing to let matters lie for a while. But given the drought and the strategic importance of the Augusta, and the fact that the Senate had adjourned for its summer recess in the third week of July, and half its members were at their holiday villas around the bay, it had been thought prudent to dispatch an immediate replacement. Attilius had received the summons on the Ides of August. Conducted into the presence of the Curator Aquarum himself, Achilles Aviola, at his official residence on the Palatine Hill, he had been offered the commission. Attilius was bright, energetic, dedicated. The senator knew how to flatter a man when he wanted something, with no wife or children to detain him in Rome. Could he leave the next day? Attilius had accepted at once, for this was a great opportunity to advance his career.